In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Good morning. Our meditation this morning is entitled, Are You Ready for Martyrdom? I'm sure we are all aware of the horrific news coming out of Iraq this week, where some mujahideen or some Islamic extremists stormed into a church in Baghdad called Sayyidat al-Najat, and it was this past Sunday evening in their service. The gunmen entered the church and they started shooting randomly at the people. They asked some to convert first to Islam, and even two priests were killed, and they were given the option to convert to Islam, and of course they refused, so they immediately shot them in the head. Many other children and women, unfortunately, were killed. And there is some connection to all this to the Coptic Church, unfortunately. According to a report or an article published in CNN, also it was all over the news this week, the article headline is All Christians a Target, Iraqi Militant Group Says. All Christians in the Middle East are now legitimate targets at Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda in Iraq announced Wednesday, this past Wednesday, November the 3rd, as the group's deadline for Egypt's Coptic Church to release alleged Muslim female prisoners expired. So they are justifying their actions by saying that the Coptic Church is holding two Muslim converts from Christianity to Islam, holding them prisoners in some monasteries, which is completely untrue, and this allegation is not in any way founded on any truth. These two women are supposedly two Tassonis, so two priest wives whom they think they had converted to Islam, and the church took them and are holding them against their will in one of the monasteries. So after the shooting, they gave the Coptic Church 2 days, 48 hours, as time to release these women. And if they were not released, then all Christians throughout the Middle East will be legitimate targets. And His Holiness Pope Shenouda was one of these targets. And for this reason, we are not sure yet of what is happening with the ordinations this coming week, but we'll talk about it later. But anyhow, there is a sense of insecurity and a sense of fear what these people are going to do. If they've already done something in Baghdad, they could do it in the Coptic Church or any other Christians throughout the Middle East. Everyone is being terrorized and afraid for their safety and security. Anyhow, our meditation is called, Are You Ready for Martyrdom? We are thankful to God that we live in a safe and a secure land. I mean, what are the chances that some gunmen are going to storm through the church this morning and start killing us randomly? You know, I don't think that is very high to happen here in Canada. But are we ready for martyrdom? Whether it happens or not, you know, that's beside the point. Are we ready for it, and does our life reflect a life of martyrdom? Well, if we go to the root of the word martyria, okay, it doesn't necessarily mean to be sacrificed or to die for the faith. It basically means, the word martyria in its simplest form means to witness to Christ. And the martyrs who have lived the witness or the martyria, they went all the way to the extent of giving their life for Christ, which was a natural consequence to the end of their witness or to the end of their faith. They give their life willingly to the Lord, and they were happy to do it. But the martyria or the martyrdom does not begin at the time of being shot or being tortured or pulled in the street for the sake of Christ. It begins in my room. It begins with a conviction that Jesus is my Lord and my God and my Savior, and I have no other desire in this world except for Him. You see, the martyrs loved Christ so much to the point that they had no other priority other than Him. They had no other vision. They have no other desire. They have no other fear except to live in His presence and to be part of His body. Our Lord Jesus never lied to us. You know, we just had the municipal elections, a few days ago. And most of the politicians, when they go out on their campaign trails, what are they doing? They are promising the people, if you elect me, you will pay less taxes. If you elect me, things are going to be much better. I'm going to take care of the finances, and I'm going to put the city hall in order, and all this corruption is going to go away. It is a very bright picture ahead of the followers, and that's why they should elect him. And of course, in many cases, as we know, once the person is elected into office, many things change, or all these promises are not fulfilled. As for Christ, he did the opposite. He said, listen, the road to follow me is not going to be easy. In the world, you will have tribulation. But there is a little disclaimer here. There is something on top of the tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this is the beauty of our faith. The Lord never failed us. He said, listen, the road is going to be rocky. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a smooth sailing, and you know, the sun is always going to be bright and shining, and you're just always going to have this amazing euphoria feeling of being with Christ and being worshiping Him, and He's going to appear to you in visions, and you're going to raise the dead, and you're going to do miracles, and it's just going to be so amazing. He said, no. Listen, if you are going to be a true disciple, you must live martyria. You must be martyred. Not necessarily to give your life, even though a witness or a disciple in the first century necessarily meant that they are going to follow Christ until their death. But in our case, a life of martyria is a life of witness, a life that reflects following Christ. Someone said, if someone looks at us and sees us out in the street walking or dealing in school or speaking with one another, will they know that we are witnesses of Christ? Will our faith be shown and reflected in our actions? Our Lord Jesus gave to the disciples certain markers for a life of martyria. He told them that, you know, those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, if we look together, turn to Mark chapter 10, please, verse 42. You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Verse 43. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the true life of martyria. Are you ready to be a martyr? If you are ready to be a martyr, then we must begin now. Not when the gunmen storm through the doors and start to give us the ultimatum. Do you want to convert to Islam or do you want to remain a Christian? I say, listen, if ever a gunman comes to me and he puts the gun to my head, I will not deny Christ. Well, that's great. But you know what? That's unlikely to happen here. So let's be realistic. That's why we need to live martyria in our day-to-day lives. There are three levels of living the life of martyria. The first one is in my own personal life. In my own room. This is a true life of martyria when I willingly go and lock my room and say, Lord Jesus, this is just a time for me and you. No interference from anyone else. I am willingly offering my life in front of you, the life of worship and the life of prayer. When I was coming into the church today, I saw a little sign on the door says that there is no faith without prayer. There is no life of faith without a life of prayer. Are we convinced of this? Do we put in the quality and the quantity of time to do this? Say, no, I'm going to say, you know, a couple of short words, arrow prayers, they're going to go from my heart to the heart of Christ, and that's good enough. How many relationships can we build based on, like with a child or a wife or a parent, if we just say, listen, I'm just going to spend with you, you know, a good 2 minutes, but they're going to be amazing. Quality 2 minutes. You say, I'm not important to you. I'm not at the top of your list. A very crucial aspect of life of martyria, if I want to be a martyr, if I'm ready to be a martyr, is to willingly sacrifice my life, my time for God. And I know there's so many distractions out there in the world. But if the children of God are going to give so many excuses why they can't be with God, what about people in the world? If my own children come to me and says, Dad, we're too busy for you now. We don't have time for you. We have this and that and games and friends and outing and this and that and homework. And we don't have a few minutes to spend with you. I'm saying I'm providing all this and then what? I need a feeling. You know, Christianity is not a robotic religion. It's not like other religions where you have your do's and your don'ts. In Islam and Judaism, it is more of that sort, you know, do's and don'ts, and pray at this time, and do this at this time, and kneel in this way, and stand up, and put your hand in this. It's very robotic religion, but Christianity is much different. Christianity is a relational religion. It's all about a relationship. And this is what God expects from us. If I want to live a life of martyrdom, I must be willing to give my heart to Christ, my life, my time, my prayer, my dedication. That's the first level of martyria. Second level of martyria is in my day-to-day life. So many people are dealing with, you know, all of us are living in the world. You imagine a few hundred people, their contact outside the world is going to be a few thousand. And we have a mission. You and I have a mission in our circle, amongst our immediate friends and family, to witness to them, to show them what a true Christian is, what a true believer is. Someone who is not coming to church because they have to, but because they want to. Someone who is coming to church to grasp and to hold tight to the Holy Spirit and to God, just like Jacob did and says, I will not leave you until I am blessed. Don't leave church until you receive this blessing, until you receive healing from whatever reason you are coming. Maybe you have a problem that you're going through, or a financial difficulty, or a hardship, or any kind of problem. I'm coming to church, I'm being filled. I'm casting my crown in front of the Lord underneath the cross and telling Him, Lord, here is my honor. Someone sent a question last week saying, why do women have to cover their head? It's a type of martyria. It is a type of martyria. It is a type of willingly saying, this is my honor and my glory. When I come before you, Lord, I want to cover my hair because this is the sign of my honor or glory. And I want to give you all the honor. I want to give you all the glory to you. It is not mine. When I'm before you, Lord, I give you all the glory and the honor. I'm coming to church, I'm being filled, and I'm going out into the world to fill the world with the Holy Spirit of God. Saint Francis of Assisi said, there are five Gospels that we have as Christians. Most people don't have access to the first four. I am the fifth Gospel. People are reading the fifth Gospel in the world. Most people don't have access to the first four Gospels. But your life is the Gospel that people are going to look towards in your immediate surrounding. Be an agent of change. This is a life of martyria. The third level of martyria is we have the world on our hearts. I know many of us quite often think of our family, our co-workers, our small circles. But what about the need in the Middle East? What about the need for Christians who are persecuted in China? So many people in the early church, in Egypt, in Upper Egypt, they when they heard about martyrdom that is happening, let's say in one city or town or country, all the town would go together and say, we want to give our life for Christ. We want to be martyred. And when the martyrdom era had ceased and finished, the Copts then went to the desert and they lived a life of martyria there through their asceticism. And they established St. Anthony and so many other monks, St. Macarius the Great and St. Bacomius, all these wonderful church fathers and leaders and mothers willingly left the world and went into the desert to live a life of martyria. This week, we've heard of the San Francisco Giants, right? What did they win? Huh? The World Series of baseball, right? World Series. And the pitcher who pitched the ninth inning, who won the game for them, his name is Wilson. Forgot his first name. Maybe someone remembers his his first name. After he finished and he threw the last out, right? The man swung. This was this week, right? He did a little sign. Did anyone notice what he did right after he got his last out? Okay, that pitcher in the ninth inning, what did he do? He did a little sign or a little code. What is it? He just did like this. And he looked up to the sky. Why did he do this? Some people asked afterwards. I was curious. So I dug in a little bit to know why he went like this and he looked up to the sky. So he said, for two reasons. Anyone knows what these two reasons are? They are? One of them, he was honoring his father who passed away at a very young age. I believe at the age of 17 or something like this. So he's honoring him. But the media said that he did this to honor his Christian faith. And I loved it. So just the sign of the cross. And he looked up to give thanks to God. And imagine this on the biggest theater arena in the whole world. This is the World Series, the final. Millions, tens and millions, maybe billion people are watching around the world. And he does this little sign. This is a type of martyria. This is a type of witness to someone who took a chance and an opportunity to give thanks to God, even if it meant that he could be defamed or people could make fun of him. He didn't do it in front of the people that he just won against to brag or anything. He just looked up at the sky and he did this little sign. What are we doing to honor God, to worship him? We might be martyred, meaning to be killed for the sake of the faith, but it's unlikely. Let's just presume that, you know, that's not going to happen to us, that some people are going to come in and kill us today. But we must be willing to extend ourselves wherever we are in order to give honor and glory to God. This is a true life of martyria. My prayer to you today and to myself is to dig deeper. And today, before you leave the church, you're going to look up to God and ask yourself, Lord, I don't want to leave this place without being blessed, changed, transformed, and have a new beginning in my life. I want to live a life of martyria. Lord, open up for me. How can I be of effect, of influence, of witness to the world that is around me, amongst my family, in my own personal life, at work, at school, with my neighbors, with my colleagues, the people I'm in contact with all the time. I want to be a true witness to you. A true martyr is the one who witnesses to God in every action of her or his life until the last breath and the last moment. May the blood of these martyrs never go in vain. And the witness that they gave us, whether they are in Iraq, whether they are in Egypt or in any other place in the whole world, may their blood be the means that our faith will sail upon in order to reach the other end, to give honor and glory to God. That the faith would continue to exist here on earth, here right here in Canada, here in Toronto. And this would be a place where the faith is just reflected and being glorified to God now and unto the ages of all ages. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.